Father, we thank you that you gave us the song of you today. Lord, that our focus is on you and not on man. Our focus is on you and not tradition. Our focus is on you and what you say from heaven. We bring heaven to earth because you're here. We thank you, God. We thank you. Stir us up, God, even more, Lord. We were designed to create these songs for you. We are designed to sing to you. We are designed to dance to you and for you. That's our design, God. Thank you, Lord. 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 We celebrate you. We celebrate you. Wow. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So good. Oh, wow. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. To live for you, Jesus. To really live for you, Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you that you show us the greater way. You show us that there is no separation, God. You show us that things of the world pass away. You show us, Lord, that the old man that would tend to rise is shut down with pure worship and holy fire of celebration, God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Transform us today in your presence, God. Transform us in your holiness, God. Transform us. Transform us. Change us. Change us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow. You know, yesterday we had a wedding in this house, and it was beautiful, and we had some drunk people at least up in the front, because I don't know about you guys. And we say that word because we were intoxicated in the new wine, in the spirit. And out of that, words were flowing, visions were flowing. It was so strong. I don't know if you felt that wave that was going on back there, but that's how it was. It was so strong. So we heard from people on the stage that it was just like, whoa. And I think if you were out in this area, did you sense the presence and power of God? You did. Praise God. It was awesome, wasn't it? Thank you, Jesus. And just so happy that Carly and Jordan are blessed and flying, or maybe they've landed. I don't remember how long the flight is. But what a whirlwind for them. What a beautiful display of God's heart and God's love. And I just know that as we are worship junkies, really worship junkies, it's true, honestly, we'll be stirred up in our most holy faith, and that influences everything we do, every decision we make, every choice we involve ourselves with. We'll say no, we'll say yes, we'll say, you know, our spirit will be free. Our spirit will be made alive. You know, I don't know. Rick, are you here? Is he around? He's been back here. He made a comment last night. It was not a comment of judgment. Okay, I'm going to say it, but it was very cool. He was looking at all the people on the dance floor and the mixture, and he made a comment. He says, wow, look at all that. You know, bodies flying everywhere and arms moving and legs moving. I said that part. And he said, wow, wouldn't that be great to see that in worship at Frontline tomorrow? The real worship. Last night there was a little bit of fun as, you know, bodies were going, whoa, there's something moving here. But probably, more than likely, there wasn't a whole lot of worship going on for the people who wrote the songs and such, but it's true. Come on. But anyway, so when Rick said that, I just laughed. I said, we'll see. So, you know, I was kind of talking to the Lord, saying, God, you know, we're not evaluating, we're not judges. Don't start letting your checklist go and your brain go. I'm just saying. I said, wouldn't it be so great if there was this celebration tomorrow that would just so surpass anything the world can offer. Come on. This is what we do for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You can't stop yourself because we're created to let it fly. So that was a cool comment, Rick. And thank you, Mike and Jamie and the team. And baby Groover, I don't know what he or she is thinking. I mean, how many mamas are jumping at 8 months pregnant? Come on. Like that. It's just so cool. Okay. If people are looking for balance, you know that word that tells us which way to go inside? This is balance. This is not extreme. This is heaven. This is how God designed us, you know? You can't stop yourself. Your feet just move. Your arms just move. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter anything. You just move because we're designed to move. So we don't want to make up our own theology of, well, I don't do that. It's like, I'm sorry. You know, and if you don't, you're not welcome here. No, don't make up that theology either. That's not true. I'm just saying we need to celebrate when we see when the worship rises in a way that it is affecting. It's intended to affect all of us in every part of our life. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Come on. And speaking of worship, oh my gosh, I'm going to give my phone to Josh. Or whoever's back there with Josh. Is it Becca? Got a couple pictures from Brazil because we started our worship center there. Yes, last week in the favela, in the community. And a couple pictures were sent. It was dedicated and consecrated last week. And then this, was it Monday or Tuesday? Monday, right? Monday or Wednesday, because I forget what day they changed it to, if they did. And they took a couple of pictures. So I want you to see it. It's not a real big place, but Joe Kabeji is in there, and there's some other kids, and they're just starting, so it's not like a whoa, but it's the idea that this is our place, and God has carved out a place right in the middle of hell. It really is. Honestly, that's what Pastor Juseo said. It just feels like you kind of walk into the mouth of hell, but you walk in the anointing and power and grace and, you know, God just protects you, which he has. He's been so good. So praise the Lord. So we've got a place. Isn't that so cool? So I got to find this 1 second. Well, you know what? After I'm finished here, I'll find it. Also, Pastor Jacob and Ina. Pastor Jacob is back in jail again. But I get this praise report from Ina from Jaipur. She's back in Jaipur. She says, oh, hello. We're getting used to the hot weather again back in Jaipur. Dimapur is very cool, apparently, cool and rainy. So Pastor Jacob is back, but she said, I just want to give praise. No complaints. I just want to give praise because Pastor Jacob now has another attorney, and she believes that this is a good one, I hope. But she's very excited about that, and also she is very much thankful, very grateful that there is a pastor there who's pretty strong and powerful and spirit-filled, who is going to be able to minister and come, go and visit Jacob in this prison, in this jail. So she feels that things are moving. She's highly encouraged. And I was just so glad to hear that, the India report there. And also from Sunitha, who is Sunitha and Pastor Dewa, who are overseeing the children's home. Hi, Josiah. What you looking for? Papa, I don't know. I don't know where he is. She said that the fire is still burning. There's had been an ignition, a fiery ignition of the children and the leaders and everything there. And so I sent her an email this week and we talked, and she said, yeah, things are still moving forward. The glory of God is increasing. So whatever that looks like, whatever that means, we need to pray those things in. Inez sends a report that her mother, her name is Mama Maria, another Maria, and When our worship center went through and we got it and acquired it and everything, her mom just seemed to get really hit and assaulted with a problem in her back. She had fallen before, but this just rose up, and the pain was excruciating to the point where if she's not hospitalized and constantly medicated, I don't know what we're going to do type thing. So I was able to talk to her, call her, and just speak over her, and this pain left, and she was calmed down. It had been going on for a long time. It's like, thank you, God, because there was a lot of torment coming against her. And when we were in Brazil in January, I think it was the first or second night we were there, her heart, she was having a heart attack of some kind. And so Inez and I went over there and were able to pray over her. And when the paramedics came in, and there was a doctor on the team, which is amazing. In Brazil, they do that. And they had various instruments and ways to test her and such. And they said, hey, you're good enough. We're not sending you to the hospital. There's no damage done here for whatever they had. They had this small machine. And so you're all right. She had so calmed down from that prayer. So her name is Maria. So we just want to lift her up in prayer too. So we're seeing a lot of things happening in the spirit. And I know that, Rachel, did you have an announcement or message? But I know that God's always thinking of us, and he's moving things in order, you know, because he's a God of order in the midst of holy chaos on our end. He knows what's up. He knows what's going on, and he wants us to rest and hear his voice and listen to what he's saying. So just wanted to mention that with that in mind, we've got an amazing friend of the house who's coming in on Friday and Saturday. We've got Ben. I don't know if we have something up here we can put for those who don't know about this. I think we have it on Facebook, right? We have an event, so if you can put it up, that'd be great. But Ben Atkinson is coming in. Ben is a friend. He spoke here several times. He has spoken here. He was here during Relentless Pursuit. He is a prophet. He hears the voice of the Lord. I love him and his family, and I really appreciate his heart. He just lays it all bare for Jesus, and he doesn't want a mixture in his life. How many of us don't want mixture in our life? If we don't want mixture in our life, we can tell God, I don't want mixture. And then when we feel mixture, we have to kind of take a step away from the mixture, and it's hard. There's kind of a, you know, a tug of war. It's like, what do I do with that, Lord? How do I do that? How do I bless people? How do I be who I've been created to be? Because I don't want to have a mixture. Ben is one who at least, I don't know, I'm not at home with him, but he says he doesn't want mixture in his life. But he's coming on Friday and Saturday, 7 o'clock. Just really encourage you. He's very funny. You can relate to him. He's just the way he presents things. I just love his heart. And he's going to talk about areas of warfare. But can you, Ben, with his big smile and fun way, he's going to talk about warfare because he knows the stakes are high and the enemy really hates those who are on fire, loving Jesus, want to worship with all abandon. He just really hates people like that. And if that's you, if that's me, okay. So we love Jesus, but we want to be very wise in how we navigate through the waters that we live in and live around. We live in the water, but we have an atmosphere. So he's going to be talking about, he's going to, as he said, I'm going to land on the Prince of Persia and Prince of Greece. So I don't know what he's going to say. You may not know what that means. So that's a good reason to come. So that's really fun. And then he's going to talk on Saturday and land on, and we're not posting this because people will go, Prince of what? What? What country is that? So we're not doing that. I'm just going to let you know. And then on Saturday, he's going to be speaking about holiness, which should be one of our favorite words. Really, holiness in the church. What does that look like? Because sometimes the word holiness sounds like strict, I can't move, I've got guilt and shame and all that. And that's just a big fat lie from the enemy that comes against us that stirs up something else that we're dealing with. Okay? Because he doesn't want us to understand the true meaning of holiness, of understanding what that is. Okay? So I'm just encouraging you guys to come out. It's worth it. It's worth the drive. It's worth the time. Tell your friends, tell your family, just let God be God. Let me tell you, most of you, if not all, because everybody was invited, so I don't know who was all there, but yesterday at the wedding, when I was preparing my heart for the wedding, Pastor Bill and I spent a lot of time with the Lord, so what do you want to do here? How do you want to do this? He spoke to me, and he said, I said this to a few people, because some people came up and said, oh, that was really powerful, this and that. And I said, I was sitting there on the couch, and at one point, he said to me, I want you to preach the gospel. I'm going to save people. You may think, well, yeah, but that's who you are. You're this evangelizing person, and evangelists, like, you always like to do that. Well, yes, that is true, but I want to listen to what he wants to do. These are his meetings, okay? Even weddings are his meetings. So I want to hear what he has to say, and we try to navigate through everybody's likes and dislikes and wants and all that kind of stuff and say, okay, Holy Spirit, you're the top dog here. What would you like? So that's what he said to me. And I was so excited because I knew when I spoke that people were going to get saved. I don't need to see their hands. I don't need to see. I didn't have a hand go up when I got born again. I just listened, and my heart was ready, and God had moved me into a place of receiving the gospel. And so I know that happened yesterday. So that's what I'm saying to you. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to analyze it. We're all very smart people here, right? Well, I shouldn't invite Aunt so-and-so because she wouldn't like Frontline, and she wouldn't want to come, and she might be pushed away farther from the Lord. Just don't worry about that. Just invite everybody. Let God be God. Ben will just going to flow with the Spirit. He knows what to do. The Lord knows what to do, right? Yeah. We had people, right? Paul is here. Can I tell them, Paul?
Yeah.
Or do you want to tell them what you're doing?
I'll tell them.
Okay. Come on, Paul.
All right. Does anybody have Facebook or recording? So put it on Facebook. I'm here for the weekend. I'm here till Monday, because tomorrow I got an interview from CWE at Whippledale. And we're moving back to Ohio either in August or September.
I just want to tell you something that I saw Paul yesterday. I saw him at the wedding. I didn't know he was coming. And I didn't have a chance because we were up front, but I was out in the tent, and I went up to him, and I said, Paul, I just want to give you a hug. I'm so glad to see you. How'd you get here? And he goes, well, my parents. And they were sitting right there. I didn't see them. So I said, oh, my gosh, hello. I've been seeing you for a long time. It's so nice to see you folks. And this is what his parents said. Paul, they said, we've been living in Louisville for 5 years. And Paul talks about Frontline, 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 Frontline all the time for 5 years. So we started listening to the Lord who said, you're to move back, and it's the Lord's will to come back to Ohio. I'm sure there's a lot more in that, but that's what I heard from his folks. So we just want to lift up this family, because Paul is part of our family. Father, I just thank you for the Pirolozzi family. I thank you for Paul. I thank you for his parents. I thank you for everyone. And I thank you, Lord, that your design for their lives shall come to pass, and that you will overwhelm them with your security and your safety, your provision, and, Lord, that he will be completely overcome by your Spirit, that you will bring him into a place of complete freedom, complete healing, complete deliverance, complete wholeness. We love his heart, and we thank you for his family, and thank you for bringing him back here in your way, in your timing. And I thank you, the Lord, that you are just igniting him and that the favor of heaven is on him. And I thank you, Lord, that favor moves for the job that he is looking for and wanting. And I thank you, God, that you overwhelm his family with favor so that they are able to move into the proper house and the place that you have for them. And thank you for the future in this family. We love you, Paul. And we praise the name of Jesus for you. Yeah. I remember praying for Paul as his last time here when he was right here in the floor. Do you remember that, Paul?
Yeah.
Do you remember that? It was a very...
I got an announcement to make.
Okay.
One more. And before I come back here, I'm going to finish working at Parker as a promise. And after that, I'm going to be committed to do a lot of FMI work, like
lots of things. Amen. And we'll work together on that, won't we?
Yeah. And we'll work things out.
Amen. That's so good. Oh, my goodness. Do we have prayer this week for the Redemption for Life, Rachel? Is that this Wednesday? Did you want to mention that? There's a bunch of kids here, but just a moment. I'll find
you. Okay. So the second Wednesday of every month, we have prayer here. We meet right at those tables in the back for anti-human trafficking. We pray over whatever the Lord brings to our hearts, but specifically our area that the Lord's given us here, and then also overseas. And last time we had a really, we're blessed by the experience of praying for something that was brought to our attention from the news, and then just the next day they had found a girl that had been missing and they were searching for. And so we were just blessed to be a part of that, and a part of the prayer that was going up for her, and to see the Lord answer that right away was really awesome. So it's from 12 to 1, and whoever wants to come, if you're able to come on your lunch break, you can bring your lunch or just come on over and just have a time of prayer for what the Lord's doing.
And I want to thank you personally from Pastor Bill and I, all those who jumped in so magnanimously for Carly and Jordan's wedding. This was such a fun, an amazing couple of days for a long, more than that. The things, the words that were spoken, the testimonies that were given, the service that was offered, even when things weren't known to be, there wasn't maybe a person at a certain spot that you jumped in, that type of thing, you know, when you have a big group of people. And thank you for that. God bless you. I know Carly and Jordan thank you too. It was just really beautiful. So praise the name of Jesus. So we're putting up the pictures. There's Ben and his family. Friday at 7, Saturday at 7. It's worth your time. Wouldn't we love to have this tent all the time? Huh? Anybody want to buy this and keep it right here? I remember. I remember someone I know who said that out loud, and they got a tent given to them, just, you know, like a little bit bigger than that, a lot bigger. So who knows? Wouldn't that be so wonderful to have a tent for the various things that we have? So four pictures, and then we're going to go to the message. Okay. First Friday, what? Andy. Okay, well, there you go. You're not a filler. Sorry, I just didn't think of it.
First Friday was an awesome evening. Obviously, we were a little shorthanded because of the illustrious celebration, but that's all right because the kingdom was being released in both places. And it was such a cool night. It wasn't literally cool because it was warm, which made that there were lots and lots of people. And actually, one of the themes that they had that night was Celebrate Canton. And so there was a ton of people down there, which was crazy. But it was so awesome just the way the Lord continually would draw people in. And several things surprised me, but there were two young girls, and one girl's name was Destiny, and she was sitting there, and her sister. So I just began sharing with her some pictures and things like that, and, you know, drawing a picture for her, and I just felt out of my heart. I'm like, you know, your destiny, your purpose, I mean, you know about Jesus and sin, and like, well, maybe. And here in conversation with them, realizing that there was an 8-year-old and a 14-year-old that had never heard the gospel, like, never. I was like, have you heard of what Jesus did? No. And their mom's behind us, and she's like, I'm an atheist. And we're like, that's fine. And Lawrence and I were there, and we were able to, like, tag team just presenting the gospel to them. And it was just so awesome to say, hey, you have a destiny and a purpose, and that's to know the love of Jesus. That's why you were created. That's why you're here. And so a lot of us had an amazing time just to be able to connect with people. There was a young guy who came out of Napoli's, and he's like, on my break, can I get a picture real quick? And like, people are coming out of Napoli's and they're looking at him like, you need to get back in here, as I'm talking to him and drawing him a picture. And he was still kind of in this in-between life, and, you know, as far as giving his heart to Jesus, but he was sharing with me, he's like, yeah, my brother became a born-again Christian and he totally got delivered from drugs and everything else, and that's crazy. And I was like, yes, and the Lord wants to do the same thing in your heart. And one last thing that was just really, really touched my heart was there was a woman who came, and she kind of saw that she was doing, and she had her four children with them, and they were all, you know, teenagers. I think the oldest one had just graduated. And so she had a pictures drawn for each one of her kids, and, you know, and she was like, wow, this is encouraging and blessing. And so then she sat down, and the Lord I just saw a picture of this well. So I drew this well and this water going down deep, and the Lord spoke to me. I believe it's in Isaiah where he talks about he's going to do a new thing and he's going to make rivers come forth in the desert and everything else. And it seemed like through conversation with her that she had just moved up here with her four kids from Georgia, and she was just kind of like starting over. And obviously this wasn't a word of knowledge because she told me, but she had kind of left, you know, an abusive situation and packed up her whole family and moved up here to be with her family. And so it was so encouraging to be able to tell her that the Lord sees you. He sees your situation. He sees your circumstance. He knows everything that's going on in your heart. And it's not an accident that you're sitting down in front of me right now, because I'm here to tell you that Jesus sees it all, and he's not blaming you. He's not upset. He's not angry. And so she just started to, you know, cry and tear up, and then she was feeling shy, so she had to put her sunglasses back on so nobody could see her, which I completely understand. But again, it was just such a refreshing thing of, like, that when we go down there, that we're praying that the Lord would bring the right people at the right time so they can receive the thing that they need from the Lord. So really encourage you guys, you know, to make it out when we have it next. And obviously we also have the Jackson Township celebration that's going to be happening the same time as First Friday, so we will be dividing and conquering again in downtown Canton, but also in Jackson. So I really encourage you guys, just take advantage of these opportunities to reach out, because essentially this is our mission field here, and you know, we can interact with them, and it's just a lot of fun and obviously encouraging. So make it on out.
That's cool. Do we have them up? Well, while we're waiting, I also just want to highlight some talent in our midst of Mr. and Mrs. Dan Bridenstine with their dancing last night. They are so smooth together. Reminded me, actually, of my dad and I. Well, maybe not exactly, but but Pops taught me how to dance like that, you know. And when I saw Carly and her dad doing the father-daughter dance like that, that's how my dad and I would dance. It was just so you guys have a real cool connection. There was just that flow there. Yeah, there he goes. See? And Joe, my goodness, I'm telling you what. It's Joe, hey? So I think we've got some movements going on that are, it's like, whoa, I saw you in Brazil, man, but I never saw that last night. What did you say? He brought that back from Brazil. Oh, that was fun. Okay, here we go. Here we've got Joe Cabeggi and some of our, I don't have my glasses on. Is that anybody we know, Troy? So that is our new building right there. You will be sitting in there if you go to Brazil. And there it is. This is our building in the favela. Thank you, Lord. There it is. And it is. Praise the Lord. So I think that's it, right? So we'll have to see where this goes, but I just know they're very excited about it. And we're going to see what God wants to do, because we want his worship to just be sung in a very joyful and, you know, when you are holy in Jesus, do you know we're joyful? Sometimes we have this weird thing that if I'm holy, I can't smile, I can't move. Oh, well, it's just not true. So holiness is a whole different thing. So that's why it's important to come also on Saturday. Hear more about that. So God bless you. Today was wonderful so far. Pastor Bill is preaching now. We'll release the children to kingdom land. Hello. And thank you again for this great weekend.
We didn't mention this, but there's the sign up right here for Jackson Community Celebration is in my hand, and it's going to be in your hands with a pen. So get your calendars out, but not while he's preaching.
Maybe while he's praying.
Yes. Still a little bit of a reception atmosphere in here today. Father, we are so glad to be in your presence. We're just going to declare that. Our joy is in your presence. For in your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forever. you desire for us to have pleasures forever as we spend time in your presence, God. Lord, we want to learn today from your Holy Spirit. We want to hear with spiritual ears. We want to see with spiritual eyes. Father, teach us. Holy Spirit, teach us. We invite you to search our hearts. We invite you to try our anxious thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in us, and lead us in the way everlasting. Father, that's been our cry for some time now. Search us. We give you permission. We know you'll find things. Point them out to us, Lord. We want to be teachable. We want to grow in you. We want to learn from you. We are your disciples, and that means we are learners. We learn from your presence. We learn from your Spirit, Lord. Today, we say, yes, I'm open. Yes, I'm open. Yes, Lord, I'm open to learn from you during this time together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Stick. I said some months ago that I would like to try to remember to start each message that I give with a quote. Today we have two, so you get double. I don't know if we can project those up there. Rebecca, or you deleted them. They were that valuable to you. Okay, well, I'll speak them out to you so that you don't miss out. When I considered speaking this morning, it just kept coming to me for the last week or so. Whisper. The whispers we listen to. And so the whisper of the Holy Spirit is infinitely more life-giving and life-changing than the scream of the world, the flesh, and the devil, despite their appeal to the ear of our old man. Wow, that looks pretty good up there. The whisper of the Holy Spirit is infinitely more life-giving and life-changing than the scream of the world, the flesh, and the devil, despite their appeal to the ear of our old man. And the second quote, don't seek the path of empowerment before you seek the path of humility. So I suppose those quotes will be weaved into the message somewhere, but the whisper that we listen to. Are you listening to the whisper of the Holy Spirit? Are you listening to the whisper of demons as agents of Satan? Are you listening to the old man, the flesh, because it whispers, sometimes screams? Are you listening to the new man, to your spirit that's made alive and willing by the Holy Spirit? Are you listening to the Word of God as a whisper, the Logos? Are you listening to prophetic words, pictures, dreams, visions from God? They whisper to us wisdom. They whisper to us the way of life. Are you listening to the whisper of gossip? Are you listening to the whisper of confusion? Are you listening to the whisper of counsel, the whole book of Proverbs? I'm reading through that again. I don't know. I keep getting drawn back to the book of Proverbs. A number of beautiful passages, but I found some repeats. I don't know if you've read the book of Proverbs recently, but there's a lot of repeats. For instance, the beginning of chapter 2, I think it is. My son, you receive my word. If you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. And it goes on. Chapter 5, verse 1. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding. Chapter 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Obviously, it's the book of wisdom. But in order to get wisdom, we must be willing to be taught. We must be teachable. Must be correctable. You know, in these days, there are less teachable people and less correctable people, it would seem. They're a smaller number. When you speak out at First Friday, there are thousands of people down there. And there are maybe, you know, 10 or 20 that come to the tent, or maybe more on a good night. Out of all those thousands, something free, but it's the word of the Lord. And so many just pass by. They don't want to be instructed. They don't want to receive anything from the Lord, any wisdom. But it doesn't take much to change the world. 11 disciples made it through the training program of Jesus. And now there's more than 2 billion Christians, they say, if you include all the people that say that they are Christian. In name, at least. From 11 to 2 billion. You start out with something small. If you despise it, that would be unwise. Because God can multiply the smallest of things. So I want to go to 1 Kings. I'm going to do some Old Testament today. 1 Kings chapter 18. If you have your Bibles, your phones, your iPads, turn to chapter 18 of 1 Kings. Now, the background of this is there's Ahab, who is king of the northern part of Israel. He decides he wants an alliance with the Phoenicians. Maybe you heard about the Phoenicians from your history classes. They really existed. And these kings really existed. These people really existed. Ahab was the king. He wanted an alliance with the Phoenicians, so he marries Jezebel, who is the daughter of the king of the Phoenicians. Bad, bad, bad. Okay? Marrying the Baal woman. The whole society worshiped Baal and the Asherah poles and idols, and Ahab thought it'd be a good idea to marry someone from that group. God had already forbidden that, and he did it anyway. They had temple prostitutes. They had idols everywhere. And he thought it'd be a good thing to be allied with them rather than with God himself. And so, the prophet comes, Elijah, and says, naughty, naughty, you shouldn't have done that. And so now there will be, until I speak to you again, there will be a 3.5-year famine. That famine was still talked about in the New Testament. I think Jesus even mentioned it. It was so devastating to Israel that they remembered it for a long time. 3.5 years. So Ahab, and I should say, Elijah disappeared. He gave the word and said, when you talk to me again, the famine will be over. Well, the famine became very bad. And so Ahab sent all kinds of people looking for Elijah and couldn't find him. And he had a servant called Obadiah, short one-chapter book in the Old Testament. Obadiah. And Obadiah kind of, you know, knew how to get messages to Elijah. And so he would tell Elijah that he's hiding some of the prophets that Jezebel was trying to kill. She was killing prophets of the Lord. That's how wicked she was. And so Obadiah hid 100 prophets in the caves and fed them. And then he reported somehow through messengers to Elijah that that was going on. So the king and his servant Obadiah, they go out and they separate looking for green grass so that they can feed it to their cattle. So the cattle that they have don't die. And Obadiah's walking along and boop, here pops up the prophet Elijah. Just boom, there he is. And he says, go tell the king I'm going to come and talk to him. And Obadiah goes, no one's been able to find you. You did hear about the 100 prophets that I hid in the caves and everything, right? But no one's heard from you. No one can find you. I'm supposed to go to the king and tell him that you're going to show up now? I'll die. And Elijah said, it's time. I will be talking to the king. So he does. He comes before Ahab, and Ahab says, basically right out of his mouth, he sees him and says, oh, the troublemaker of Israel. And Elijah shoots right back. No, 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 no. You're the troublemaker. You're the one that decided to give the entire nation to Baal. Very strong. In fact, call all the prophets of Baal and call all the people and we'll have a showdown. And you know about that showdown. Prophets of Baal came. Ah, Baal, 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 Baal for an entire day. You know, come bring fire from heaven. And he, obviously, since he's an idol, wood, stone, nothing happened. And Elijah even taunted the prophets of Baal. Hey, what's the matter? Baal asleep? Taking a snooze? What's going on? How come he can't bring fire down? I mean, you know, wake him up. Let's go. Obviously, nothing happened. It was Elijah's turn. And these things took hours. He prepared all this stuff, you know, they built an altar, they made a channel, and all this, it took hours. And so, the prophets of Baal are waiting there and watching, and all the people, and they cut up a bull, you know, put it all on there, and he calls down fire from heaven, and of course, they poured water over it, lots of water, called down fire from heaven, and immediately, boom, it comes and burns up everything, and wham, boom, and a big victory. And he says, okay, take these 450 prophets, 50 of them were Baal, 400 of them were Asherah, take them all down to the river and kill them. That's a strong word. You better be right on with the Lord, right? And they took them down and killed them. And so, mighty victory of the Lord. And Elijah says, okay, it's going to rain. So get ready, king. It's going to rain. So he sent the king up on top of Mount Carmel. And he and his servant went to another part of Mount Carmel. And he said, you know, he started to pray. There hadn't been rain for 3.5 years. Small cloud, finally, after much prayer and the servant checking a number of times, small cloud, the size of the hand of a fist, fist of a hand, you know, something like that, starts over the water. They see it coming, coming, and it grows and grows, and then this just deluge just hits. Well, you know, Ahab must have saw it coming, so he starts down the mountain, and he takes off in a chariot, and the prophet runs and catches up with him. I think we need him for Rio, the Olympics. Caught up with him, and the next thing that happens is he gets a message that Jezebel is going to kill him. One woman. He just defeated 450 prophets, had fire fall from heaven and rain fall from the sky, and he runs at the sound of one woman's threat and becomes fearful. And the Lord was gracious, brought an angel to feed him a meal, another meal. He was well fed, went inside of a cave in total fear of one person. So this is all happening in 1 Kings 17, 18, 19, right in there. So it says, in verse 19, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servants there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now the Lord take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Discouraged. Then he lay and slept under the broom tree. Suddenly an angel touched him, and he said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because your journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank. And he went in the strength of the food for 40 days. It's quite a meal. It's even better than the wedding feast we had last night. 40 days, 40 nights, as far as Horeb, the mountain of the Lord. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left. Not true. Believed a lie, and they seek to take my life. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, still, small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it, a still small voice, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Sometimes a whisper is louder than a declaration. A whisper in our spirit from the Lord is louder than anything that he could boom from a mountain. And he said,
Elijah. I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left. First part true. That wasn't true. And they seek to take my life. Then the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. And he gives him a number of instructions. One of them was to anoint as prophet Elisha, who would take his place. These instructions were given in the still, small voice. You notice the question was repeated, what are you doing here? Once was a statement, you know, regular volume. The second one was a whisper. Elijah repeated himself. Oh, everything's bad. I'm in a bad place. Nothing's going right. I'm the only one left. They're all gone. That's why I'm in this cave. Ever felt like that? Only one left. No one cares about me or cares about the Lord. Or I'm the only one, Lord, that really cares about what's going on with you and me and the world. So very small cloud, very still, small voice. Are we looking for something majorly big in our lives to happen before we're going to get excited about God? Or are we going to be like Jesus, had all kinds of people following him, multitudes, and then there were disciples that came out of those multitudes. And then there were the 12. The multitudes decided they would cheer on and with the ones that wanted to crucify him. The disciples that were around, they didn't like what he said one day, and most of them walked away. Out of the 12 disciples, only 11 made it through the training program. One committed suicide. And yet the Lord did not throw his hands up in the air and say, what am I going to do with this small number? How in the world am I supposed to change the world? Just like Gideon, his army carved down to 300. Does that make any sense when you're facing thousands? And then he was told, don't use weapons when you go up against that other army. Let's not use those. Why would you need weapons to fight an army? Just extra accessories, swords, spears, catapults. You don't need those. Forget that. In Zechariah 4, 6 through 10, there's a couple of statements there. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And then later on it says, for who has despised the day of small things? Another version says, do not despise these small beginnings. So often, we're looking for the big word. And sometimes we get it as a prophecy. You will do thus and so and go to the nations and do thus and so, and you will write this and you'll be this worshiper and you'll be known throughout the earth and those types of big things. But often, those big things don't come right away. In fact, many small things come first. Maybe rather than being known throughout the earth, we have the opportunity of training one person. Training one person in the faith. Some of us will look past that one person and go, but that can't be anything. I must go to my destiny and look beyond that one person or that one service opportunity. They ask me to clean the church after the wedding. And look at it. Doesn't anybody care to help me? After all, I've been told I'm going to win the country of Ghana or, you know, whatever prophecy you received. Don't they see who I am? Why am I left with the leftovers? Why am I having to do the small things? Because the small things come first. The opportunities for obedience, the opportunities for service come first so often. And there's a series of them. You probably won't just be cleaning the church once. You probably won't just be washing the dishes in the back, no one's seeing it, just once. You probably won't be leading worship and come down and sit and no one says anything about the worship. You don't know whether they were blessed by it or not. There's a series of steps often before the big opportunity comes, before the big use of your life comes. There's something smaller that God has in mind, something he wants you to see, like that small fist. What if they didn't even go out there and look? No expectation of God bringing rain after Elijah spoke it out to the king. It's time. The rain will come. And then he went out, and even though he didn't see any evidence of it, no clouds whatsoever, he prayed, believed, expected something to happen. And did it come in a big deluge right away? No, it started out very small, so small. The servant probably had to strain his eyes to see a cloud as big as a man's fist. Sometimes your destiny is the size of a man's fist from a long distance away. And it takes a waiting heart, a servant heart, a humble heart to wait and see what God is going to do for your life. In the meantime, we might be doing a lot of things that don't seem to have anything to do with that big fulfillment of our destiny. But it has everything to do with it because your character is being developed. You cannot receive this thing in the future, this prophetic word, these promises of the Word of God without the steps beforehand. Prophetic words are conditional on obedience. The Word of God, the promises, so many of them, conditional on what we do in our relationship with Jesus and each other. I don't know if you've heard, but you cannot just love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength without loving your neighbor as yourself. Those two are not separated. Those two are together. In fact, they are the fulfillment of all the law. That includes the Ten Commandments. It's in those two commandments. That includes everything in the Old Testament that was part of the law, as part of the, you know, God's heart in the Old Testament, it's in those two commandments, and they cannot be separated. It's not love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, is separate from, and love your neighbor as yourself. They were never meant to be separated. Some of us would love for it to be love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, because then we can decide which whisper we want to listen to. And some people who are listening to whispers are listening to your flesh. I've done it, and I may have done it today. I try to turn it around. Some people don't. I would suggest you do. Turn it around. Because the old man can be a very loud voice, a screaming voice inside of us. I need. Inside of us. And some people, I don't know why, but they think that's the Holy Spirit. It is not time for lunch during my message. That is not the Holy Spirit, no matter what time it looks like. Often the new man, our redeemed, made alive spirit inside of us, and the Holy Spirit comes as a whisper. Comes as a whisper. What are you doing? And we might think, that was nothing. What are you doing? Like he said to Elijah, what are you doing? You're in a cave. You know what happens in a cave? When you speak, in a cave, the sound of your voice, your words, bounce off the walls, and they come to your ear. That's what happens in a cave. And you think you're hearing something new. Hello, 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 hello. Hello, hello, hello. There's a new voice out there. I hear hello from a different source. You're hearing yourself off the walls of the cave. And if you mistake that for Holy Spirit, you will not be in the end time army fighting for the Lord. You will be off somewhere. Off in fear of something or someone. It's just the way it works. We have to hear the actual whisper of the Holy Spirit. This is not a game. This is not, well, yeah, yeah, I listened to myself because I wanted to do that. It's really not a laughing matter. Gossip. Oh, I don't gossip. I just talk with my friends. I just tell them how I really feel. I'm just being real with them. Gotta be real. I gotta be real about Pastor Beal. No, you don't. Come talk to me. Want to be real? Come talk to me. The whisper of counsel. So many people make these amazing decisions. Like, I got this opportunity. I'm moving to Montana. And this church wants me to lead worship out there. Oh, really? Yeah, it's an opportunity. I have to take it because it's an opportunity. And they want me to lead worship. You know, I just kind of do background vocals here. But out there in Montana, I can lead worship. And I can begin my destiny. Because I was told I was going to be a worship leader. So, Holy Spirit tell you to go? Silence. It's an opportunity. Let's just settle this today. There are so many opportunities you're not supposed to take. better be sure it's Holy Spirit. Because every opportunity challenges our character. We have to check that out first. Do I want to go to Montana to lead worship at a place out there because I care about those people increasing in worship? That they need a missionary of worship in Montana to increase their lives in the Holy Spirit. And I want to take them from there to the nations that I've visited as a pioneer. And I will take all the hits that come with that because there's going to be a lot. Or do I want to go to Montana and lead worship because I'll be leading worship? Did I tell you? I'm going to be leading worship in Montana, and I'm just second stuff here. See, that's a character issue. You got to solve the character issue before you can see whether it's even in the ballpark of being Holy Spirit leading you somewhere. Believe me, if Holy Spirit's leading you to do something big and you're supposed to leave someplace close by here like this place, I'm going to be the first one excited. Because he will let many people know that. He will convince them because you're a valuable piece here. So he's going to let leaders know. He's going to let people in the congregation know. And that we're going to be able to bless you. But you know what often happens? In many places, many churches, we have the tumbleweeds. They hear of an opportunity. They tumble out of a place and they go to another place. Then they tumble out of that place and go to the next opportunity. And these opportunities they have often fall apart and fail, even if they're the head pastor of a church. You know, there are a lot of pastors out of the pastorate right now that follow the tumbleweed mentality. I'll just go to the next opportunity. After all, it's a bigger church. More people. I would rather have 11 sold-out disciples for Jesus than have 3,000 in the congregation that aren't even thinking about it. It doesn't matter how many people there are. It matters how many people are laid down lovers of Jesus. And they can multiply themselves in the nations. They can multiply themselves in their families. There can be a powerful impact from their lives. So here is a mighty prophet called Fire Down from Heaven, said it's the end of the famine and rain came. He's got that kind of authority, but he became fearful. He had a button to push, a fear button, and that fear button had to do with this wicked Jezebel person. And it took him off track for a while. Identify what whispers you're listening to. I know many here are listening to whispers of the Holy Spirit because you're on the increase. You challenge my life all the time. But obviously, any of us can be listening to the wrong voices at any time. It might be even a short thing happens during the day. We have to correct that. Say, no, that's not you, God. Some people told me that this week. They had to speak back to the voice they were hearing. No, that's not God. That's not you, Lord. I know that's not you. And they declared it out. That fear is not you. Mm-mm. That's not you. And that's the fear of the Lord. Being able to talk to those other voices and say, not listening to you. You're lying to me. Do you know that he said he was the only one left? And he wasn't. There were hundreds left of prophets that God had saved their lives. Not just the 100 that Obadiah saved, but hundreds of others. But he didn't get the word of the Lord. He just declared it out. What he thought in his fear. The powerful prophet was wrong. Shouldn't we check before the Lord what whisper we're listening to, what lies we would believe? And this is a thing of joy. So some of you could actually smile. Because God is faithful to teach us. God is faithful to speak truth to us. He will do it. He's done it through his word, through the Logos. He does it through speaking through the Holy Spirit to us, the Rhema. He does it through signs, wonders, visions, pictures. But we can't be caught up, you know, in someone blind coming to see and then be fearful of something that can't even harm us because God's too big. Remember, Elijah was a person that disappeared from a powerful king, couldn't find him. Somehow, he became fearful of this woman that she could find him. And he had these major miracles happen that he was part of. And yet he stepped into fear. So now, I mean, Elijah had the Holy Spirit come upon him. You know that, right? He didn't live inside of him. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us, living inside of us, whispering to us all the time in constant communication if we're open and willing, if we don't grieve the Holy Spirit, as Ephesians 4:30 says. If we're just open and expecting and willing, he'll whisper truth to us all the time. He will teach us the things that Jesus taught us, remind us of the things that Jesus taught us. He's faithful to do that. I'm asking you to check what whispers you've been listening to. If you have preferences, I prefer that I don't do this. You need to check that with the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of preferences being taken by people that are not Holy Spirit preferences. You say, well, how do you know that? I can tell when I ask about them. People are very defensive. And I'm not even, you know, I'm smiling when I'm asking. And if you're very defensive about something, it's a sure tell sign. I'm sorry. When I'm defensive about something, I go, uh-oh. Why am I so defensive? Why am I so jumpy on this one? What button was pushed? Why am I reacting? Uh-oh. Listening to some lie or listening to the wrong whisper. Old man kind of raised up. Let him out of the grave. He's coming forth from the casket again. Got to shove him back down in there and close the top. Yeah. The violent take the kingdom. So shove the old man down in there. I would exhort you, and I've done it before, read the book of Proverbs. Most of you are younger than me. You need to read the book of Proverbs. Because it says young men. It'll make you feel good if you're feeling a little old. You read the book of Proverbs, young men. Young men, and that covers both genders. Young men, listen to your father. Listen to, okay, where is that father that I'm supposed to listen to, and so on. You're supposed to listen to those that are farther down the road in the faith. That's what it's about. Paul made no bones about it, just told Timothy. The things I've taught you, teach to others, that'll faithfully teach others. He taught Titus the same thing. And yet, when there's a distance between you and those that could give you counsel, another button. You got to know, ooh, what's that distance about? Why is there that distance? Well, I just don't want to get too close because I might be, I don't know. Why don't I want to get close? What are you afraid of? Being close to those that could teach you. This isn't where you learn on Sunday morning. Not really. This is just like the spark. This is the spark. Is getting dirty with your leaders out on the mission field or down at First Friday or in a Bible study or whatever. It's getting close enough to learn by example. You say, well, I don't think you're that great of an example. You're right. So you're going to have to learn what is a good example in the bad example in order to see Christ and then go after better things in the places that you think you can have a good example in to go after those. You know. The cool part about it is it's not just myself and Mary Pat, it's other leaders here. They have an example. And they've been taught by us. You're going to hear some of the same things from their mouths. I hear them preach and I go, huh, I remember saying that. Wow, that person actually listened. And they like it. It's coming out of their mouth towards other people. That's a good thing. The Bible says there's an old man and there's a new man. In order to follow the new man and what the new man has to say, the one that's influenced by the Holy Spirit, we have to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. Renewed in the spirit of our minds. Part of that is listening to the right whisper. Listening to the still small voice of the Lord. Psalms 46, 10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. In order to hear the still small voice, oftentimes we have to be still long enough to hear the still small voice, to hear the whisper of God. You really do want to hear him. If you're part of this wacky group, you really do want to hear him because you will be challenged. If they hear something it doesn't resonate with their spirit, somewhere along the line you're going to be challenged. And that's a good thing, not a bad thing. Read through Proverbs. It's a good thing to go through correction for any of us. None of us are exempt. Leaders are being corrected by other leaders. You need to know that. I've been corrected by leaders here. And when I believe it's Holy Spirit, I believe it's right. So I have to make sure that I'm not listening to the whisper of my old man, oh, that can't be Holy Spirit because they're trying to correct you. Oh, yes, it can be. If they're right, they're right. If it's best, it's best. And I need to listen and not let my old man whisper get the best of me. Because the voice might be younger. The voice might not be a leader here. That doesn't mean I don't listen. I have to make sure the correction coming from the body towards me, that I'm open to it. I have to be sure of that. Otherwise, I cannot model that for all of you. And I'm supposed to. Pastor Mary Pat's supposed to. Our leaders are supposed to. And you are supposed to one to another. You're supposed to be examples of one another. Have you taken the responsibility of being an example? Well, I just, got married. Now, that couple that just took off, They're going to come back, and they're going to have to be an example of being a married couple. If you're a married couple, you're to be an example of being a married couple. You're not exempt because you're in the body of Christ. You're supposed to be individually an example of Jesus as a married couple, be an example of a married couple in Jesus, every stage of life, as parents, and so on. And that's not throwing guilt on you or a load on you. That's saying if you hear the right whisper and it's from God, He empowers you. Don't seek the path of empowerment before you seek the process of humility. If you're humble, open, teachable, willing to learn, and you don't just go, I don't think that's right, at home, of course, not in front of me, or in front of another believer, you're going to gain. Read your Proverbs. You're going to gain. It might be in the Old Testament, but it's life, the things it says. And it says all the things that our old man hates. Listen to instruction, and you shall have life. I get tired, though, Lord, and these services go on forever. How can I listen that long? And then they want me to listen to the message after it's recorded and put on the podcast. And then they want me to read my Bible. And then they want me to pray. And then they want me to come to times of prayer. And then they want me to fast. And they, you know, I don't want that. The Spirit of God wants that for each of us. And to be challenged and our flesh be challenged all the time. And when the button is pushed, I don't want to fast this week. Take it up with God. It's just an opportunity. No one's going to come and check your fasting. Did you cheat with those Cheetos? No one's going to check. The whisper of the Holy Spirit is infinitely more life-giving and life-changing than the scream of the world or the whisper of the world, the flesh, and the devil, despite their appeal to the ear of our old man. We have to continually go after killing the old man, and you don't do that by thinking it. You do that by when someone tries to correct you, you listen. When something in the Word of God tries to correct us, we go, whoa, that's me. That really is me. I need to trust God to make that change and not say, God, I will make that change because I'm a powerful man of God in Jesus. No, I think the best way is to say, I can't do this, God. I'm too weak. Admit to Him, I'm weak. Make me strong. Come in, Holy Spirit. Help me, help me, help me. I need your help. We need the mind of Christ. We need to take every thought captive because every thought could be catching the wind of doctrine. You know that wind of doctrine? Goes like this. It's the things we believe. And if we're like up and down, that's the wind of doctrine. If we're a tumbleweed and we just want to go to the next opportunity without asking God about it, like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. And before long, you know, we're so confused. We'll listen to any whisper, and we're going to think it's going to lead us somewhere good because it's better than this up and down and wind. Waves, and but it still has to be the right voice that we listen to. It must be what the Word of God says. So we have to be in the Word of God. It has to be what the Holy Spirit says. So we have to ask more than once. God says, what are you doing here? We should talk back to Him. and not give excuses like Elijah did, the powerful prophet. Gave him an excuse. Woe is me. Get past that. If you want to do that at the beginning, okay, make it an introduction. But the body of what you talk to him about should be, okay, Lord, I'm listening. I know I need to listen and not make excuses. I know I need to listen and not grab onto my preferences. I need to listen fresh when a fresh word comes and not just ignore it. Help me, God. I'm weak. You're the one that can make me strong. I really do want to hear you. I really do. I want to hear you. I'll still be still. I will get still. I will stop so I can hear you. You're speaking into my life is a privilege to listen to. Help me not ignore it, Lord. Help me not get so used to it like it's nothing. When you speak, it's life. You tell me that. I need to listen to that. Do not, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Laziness, for any of us, is not going to be an excuse, is it? Or tiredness of not hearing the whispers of the Holy Spirit accurately. We have no excuse. If these words coming from our Father are words of life, health to our whole body, we should be anticipating the next thing he's going to say. And sometimes it might come to an imperfect person giving that very life-giving words, those very life-giving words. Might be a very imperfect vessel that he chooses. People had to listen to Elijah, and he was struggling at times. But the things that God gave him were the things God gave him, and he spoke them out. And they were life to the people that received them, and eventually life to Elijah. And Elisha comes along and goes, I want to learn from you. I'm going to go wherever you go. Hey, thanks for that mantle. I'll take it. And Elijah is going, oh, this new little puppy. He doesn't know what he's in for. But eventually, Elijah was taken up and Elisha had that mantle permanently. And he had been raised up by Elisha, and he doubled in miracles. That's my expectation for each of you that are being trained up in this body. You're going to double in what is going to happen in the kingdom. Why do you think I want you to hear these messages so much? Why do you think I want you to really see what disciple means, what being trained up means, what being a father, son, father, daughter, mother, daughter, you know, in the spirit means. It's not just so you can say, oh, Papa Bill. I don't care about names. I care about what God wants to do in our midst because it happened to me. I was trained up. Someone took their time, took their life, poured it into my life and other people along the way, then after that person. When I received it, wow, he started to fulfill my destiny. You're part of what was spoken years ago. And I didn't even necessarily believe it. We enjoyed having a Bible study in a ministry that reached the nations. But then people kept saying to us, you will have a church. There will be people in front of you. And they will be, and and it looks like it's in Ohio. I said, no, you must be talking about Ghana. You must be talking about Mozambique, that we're preaching the gospel in a church over there, and then we move and go to different places and preach in villages and so on. No, it's definitely in Ohio. You're the fulfillment of that. And I was even like, don't think so. I'm not really cut out for that. Isn't it cool how he can do that in us? So I want that in you, the things that have been prophesied, the things that God has spoken into your life, the things that are your destiny. I want you to actually reach it, not fall off somewhere, not go off to the side, right or left, because you heard some voice that was not God. Why would I want that? I don't want that. So I'm going to battle, Pastor Mary Pat's going to battle until our last breath to make sure there are disciples going to the nations. Not disciples of Bill and Mary Pat, disciples of Jesus, willing to carry his gospel to the nations. These nations that we've already gone to, we know there's relationships there with ministries that can grow much greater and have much greater of an impact. We're not going to quit. We're not stopping. We're not going to slow down. We're going to preach Jesus. We're not going to become stale in this place. If it were stale, we'd quit at noon and say, okay, hopefully we can get a few more people here because, you know, less people listen after noon. Isn't that sad? It's the Word of God. It's the whispering of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes that takes time for us to get to that place where we're willing to humble ourselves in worship. That's why the worship goes on for a while here. It's not two or three songs and, okay, we've done worship. No, we worship till we feel we've done worship, until we've actually gotten to the throne room and taken people with us. Yeah, that's what it's about. So we take the risk of going past noon in America. What the world? That's part of my afternoon. Good thing the Cavs are playing later. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your people. Lord, as the song says, I have made you too small in my eyes. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I have believed in a lie that you were unable to help me. But now, O Lord, I see my wrong. Heal my heart and show yourself strong. And in my eyes and with my song, O Lord, be magnified. Be magnified, O Lord. You are highly exalted, and there is nothing you can't do. O Lord, my eyes are on you. Be magnified. O Lord, be magnified. I have leaned on the wisdom of men. O Lord, forgive me. And I have responded to them instead of your life, instead of your light and your mercy. But now, O Lord, I see my wrong. Heal my heart and show yourself strong. And in my eyes and in my song, O Lord, be magnified. Be magnified, O Lord. You are highly exalted, and there is nothing you can't do. O Lord, my eyes are on you. Be magnified, O Lord. Be magnified. Father, for those here that have had promises delayed, that have destinies delayed, they're not really delayed. It's only in their own eyes. It's only in our own eyes, God, that anything is delayed. You're on time. You're waiting for our character to catch up to your visions. You're waiting for our obedience to catch up to your visions. You know when it's supposed to take place, when we're ready to take the weight, the responsibilities, the example that it takes to reach our destiny. You know the exact moment, Lord. You wouldn't hold something back from us. You're a good father that gives good gifts. You're not a stingy dad. You're a generous father. But you will not give it to us too early, before we're ready for it, when we'll just waste it on ourselves, Lord, or waste it on pride in us. You will give it to us when we're humble, when you have trained us, when you've brought us to the place of being able to carry the weight of the great mantle you want to put on our shoulders, Lord. Father, we must listen to your whispers and not our own, not the whispers of the world, not the whispers of the enemy, not the whispers of our own flesh. No, Lord, we have to consistently, desirously, intently listen to your whispers, Holy Spirit. Your still small voice within us saying, what are you doing, Bill? What are you doing here, Bill? Get out of the cave where you only hear your own voice bouncing off the walls, Bill. I'm outside. I'm doing amazing and wondrous things, earthquakes, windstorms, healings, signs, wonders, miracles. Why are you in the cave, man? Join the party outside. Join the responsibility of hearing my whisper. And quit making excuses, Bill. Go outside the cave. Get involved in what I'm doing. And I will be in those things because you listen to my whisper. I won't be in those things if you refuse to listen to my whisper. You won't get anything out of them. You'll just be someone to watch them. You won't be a participant and a partner with me. Go outside the cave, Bill, into the fresh air. Go outside the cave and partner with me. Don't listen to your own voice. The flesh, the old man. The old man loves to listen to the system of the world. It's enticed by that. Your old man, Bill, loves to listen to the enemy's lies. Go outside where I am doing things. Listen to my whisper, my challenge. I don't have to scream. I don't have to force you. Just listen. Just remember. Just look up. See that cloud as small as a man's fist. Believe that it'll become that deluge of rain all over your life, pouring blessing and favor on you that you can pass it out to others. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and your neighbor as yourself, Bill. It's easy. It's all boiled down to that. Step out of the cave. Quit listening to your preferences. Quit listening to lack of possibilities. Quit listening to lack entirely. I'm an abundant God. I'm a mighty God. I will take you to green pastures and living water and to suffering. All of it. Listen to my whisper. Listen to my whisper. I say to you, listen to his whisper. Listen to his whisper as he's challenged me. I challenge you. He will let you hear because he says in John 10, his sheep will hear his voice. But you have to have ears to hear. I'm praying today. That's what happens. Yes, Lord. I pray for each person here. They have ears to hear your voice. Your voice. Not some form of it, but your pure voice. Not a mixture, but your pure whisper. Yes, Lord. Pray that over them, believing you will make it happen, God, as they cooperate with you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Teresa had a vision today, and I just wondered if you could come up, T, and share it. She texted it to me, and it goes along with this message. And I was just talking to someone before the message today, well, actually before worship or during worship, about the old man rising, and we did not talk about this at all. We never do. So I believe the Lord is really speaking to us. So as this place grows, there will be such a firm foundation of people who will want such deep humility no matter what that it's just then going to... It's going to increase exponentially because we need the leaders here, all of us as leaders in the making, more leaders here, need that firm foundation of people who are so sold out for Jesus for real and want to hear his voice for real on every front, that then there'll be a foundation that can't be shaken in this house. And then when people start pouring in, they'll be met with a very big, firm foundation. And then it's going to exponentially increase. Those are the prophecies for us. That's what God has spoken. And then we can take more nations together, because the relationships that we have with each other are so strong. I saw that last night at the wedding. I saw the heart of love, just so much love and grace. And those kinds of relationships are meant to last a lifetime and to bring more people in. So, of course, the enemy is going to try to stop that. He has to, because it's threatening to him. But there, to have these firm foundations, the security that Pastor Bill's talking about, to take these nations together, to have each other's back together, we have to be wise, because the enemy is relentless, and he's going to teach people more about his voice, the Lord, so that we can be able to spot when the enemy is moving and help people out of traps, pull them up, ourselves first, and then others, pull them up. And that's the design. That's what love does. So Teresa can share whatever. I mean, how many of us have ever seen a pregnant mama dancing like this in worship? I don't think I've seen this before to this degree. So it was just really cool. So she's going to share what was going on with her that I believe ties in with this. This is a good word.
Yeah, I don't normally move like that. So this morning we were singing the song, I Want More, and I was taken right up to the Father's, and I was just in his presence, and I was just felt his love so deep, so dear next to me. And as we were singing that, Mike sang out, I think, a certain phrase, but I don't remember exactly what it was. But I remember my eyes being open and being like, that's right, God is bigger than what I think in my own mind, in my own imagination. He's like, he's bigger, because sometimes we form our idea of who God is, but then, you know, we stop there. But it was an opening. The Holy Spirit was revealing to me that God is bigger than what you see. And so out of that, I began to pray, Lord, open my eyes to see you, that I may understand and I may know you. And I repent from any doubt, you know, or cloudiness that's causing me not to see you accurately. And so from that point on, it was just more of his love I was receiving. And then I had a picture of two huge angels that were probably almost to the ceiling. I've never seen them before, but they were warrior angels, and they both had helmets on, and they had breastplates on, and they had, you know, shielded, and they had a sword. And immediately I was asking the Lord, you know, I know that they're here for a purpose, but Lord, I just release what you're doing in the spirit and in the natural with why they're here, that the fullness of your power, that the fullness of your authority, that the fullness of who you are, God, would be fully received in my life and for this body and what you have, Father, that they would totally be released 100% without any hindrance, without any compromise. And we kept celebrating, and the joy of the Lord was there, and I was just drinking of his presence, drinking of his goodness, and just getting drunk and intoxicated, and like, yes, yes, this is it. This is why we were made. This is why we're here. This is why we're created. You know, and even some of those things, Mike was even singing out, Jamie was singing out, and it was just so, it was so intentional. And then I was taken to just this place of like, it was so subtle. Like Pastor Bill was talking about with a whisper, like, you know, do you want the compromise or not? And it was like, my heart was like, no, I want 100% fully God. I want 100% fully him. And so, and then the fear of God just came on me, and I began like weeping, and I began just overcome with his goodness and just overcome with him. So, bless you.
The spirit of the fear of the Lord was released last Sunday at the end of the message that God gave me. And so if you were here, you know what I'm talking about? He's going to come in different ways. He just is. But he is real. He is the Holy Spirit. And that's what she's talking about. And that's where we're going. And it's got to be tight. When we say to the Lord, we don't want compromise, everything inside of us, especially from the people closest in, that'll be challenged so fast, so fast, so fast. And if we will not react, but we will respond in the Spirit, and we'll hear the Lord, and He'll tell us what to do. He'll tell us what to say, or how to be quiet. And then let God start working things out so His ways will be able to be moved, you know, through us, and we want to be able to hear that. But we have to take that look that Pastor Bill was talking, you know, about. Sometimes we joke and we say, oh, we're sometimes in the Spirit, good cop, bad cop, but we're both cops. And it's really not bad. It's just those things that are hard maybe to filter through us. But at the end of the day, we don't want to go before the Lord in having heard these kinds of things and respond in any other way other than in humility. God, just take me into Your heart and presence. Because He's really, when we say He's got nations for us, He's already doing it. And as someone really near to my heart, outside of this body, actually said to me recently, when there's fire, the enemy's going to rage, and he's going to come stronger, and he's going to come in a more subtle way, and you won't see it. So let your loved ones know that. I said, okay. So we have to stay, you know, we're going to marry You, righteousness. You are righteousness, Jesus. And see the angels that are in this place. I know Nikki has seen these big warring angels before, I know, in Heliopolis, and I don't know if you've seen them here, but I know many of you have. Many of you are visionaries, you're seers. So you get a group of people like that together, you know, that's dangerous to the enemy. But you may not think it because we aren't large in number at this point, but I believe we will be. But the Lord wants us to be really walking in the strength to be able to pinpoint where some of these principalities, powers, and wickedness are really moving, not to concentrate on them, but be able to disengage what Jesus paid a big price to do for us so we can enforce the kingdom. It comes down to that. So be filled with joy today. You guys are awesome. Wouldn't want to do kingdom with anybody else. You're amazing people. We love you.